Welcome. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And this is James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. And we both welcome you back to another jam-packed episode of The New World next week, which, of course, you can find all the information, audio, video, documentation, and more at NewWorldNextWeek.com. James, will point folks in other directions if they want to get the latest on all of the Petraeus Benghazi gate. You were actually a guest on Ground Zero last night, and I also joined Clyde on the air to discuss the Petraeus situation, but we're not going to do that here. We're going to look elsewhere around the world. And our first story we'll take from our good friend Michael Vail at StratRisks.com. Political sock puppetry, U.S. military behind fake African news sites, as Michael Vail, the editor of StratRisks, notes at the beginning. The military's been in the perception management business for quite some time. It came out after the war in Iraq that most of the military brass that appeared on Fox, CNN, etc. were sock puppets and speaking on behalf of the military. Journalists cannot write about the truth on the ground in fear of having their access taken away. The warping of reality is not just done in rogue states, but done at home as well. Weapons of mass destruction, tall tales, spurious poll data, and much more is foisted upon the populace so that they can claim that they have the majority of the public behind their operations. As famed propagandist Willie Munzenberg said, quote, "All news is lies and all propaganda is written to look like news." So the article on U.S. military behind fake African news sites notes, the website's headlines trumpet al-Shabaab's imminent demise, al-Shabaab being the alleged Somali-based cell of the alleged al-Qaeda group. The website's headlines trumpet al-Shabaab's imminent demise and describe an American jihadist fretting over insurgent infighting. At first glance, it appears to be a sleek Horn of Africa news site, but the site, Sabahi Online, is run by the U.S. military. The site, and another one like it that centers on Northwest Africa, is part of a propaganda effort by the U.S. military's Africa Command, aimed at countering extremists in two of Africa's most dangerous regions, Somalia and the Maghreb. The U.S. military and the State Department, a partner on the project, say the goal of the sites is to counter propaganda from extremists, quote, by offering accurate, balanced, and forward-looking coverage of developments in the region, end quote. They also note the internet is a big place, and we are one of many websites out there. Our site aims to provide a moderate voice in contrast to the numerous violent extremist websites. So says AFRICOM, the Stuttgart, Germany-based Africa Command. And that's what they said in a written statement, James. So it's fighting propaganda with propaganda?
Yeah, that's generally the line that they use. And of course, there's white propaganda and then there's black propaganda. And of course, the United States would only ever use white propaganda. It's extremely interesting subject. It's one that I hope that a lot of my viewers will already be familiar with because we've been covering it for the last few weeks on the Eye Opener Report, talking about PSYOPs and the different types of strategies that are used. And a couple of weeks ago, we covered the idea of fake news, including a clip from an old New World Next Week episode that we did on fake news about a fake invasion of Georgia by the Russians that was aired on TV a couple of years ago, and we covered that on New World Next Week. There's a lot of different ways that fake news can be used to basically steer the public mind and steer public perception, but here's just another example of that, a basically fake news site set up by the U.S. to feed basically garbage news stories to people in war zones where they want to afflict people's perceptions. So this is nothing particularly new, but it is just good to keep in mind that, yes, absolutely, the U.S. government is running websites and doing all sorts of other psychological operations to try to convince people of the truth of whatever it is they're trying to push in various battle spaces. And it is important also to note that in recent years, they've come to the conclusion that, well, there's not much you can do about it online. We used to have rules against propagandizing to people back home in America, but now people can get this information anywhere in the world, so those rules don't really make a lot of sense. We might as well admit that Americans are going to fall prey to this propaganda as well. Oh well. So it is very much an information war. They're talking about the info battle space and all of this garbage and information operations roadmap. So it's all very, very relevant. And I hope people are staying up to date about what's going on in PSYOPs because they're evolving faster than I think a lot of people out there are.
And I feel like I've mentioned it a thousand times. Yeah, you just said it, the information operations roadmap, where our own Western military says they want to fight the internet as if it were an enemy weapons system. So, James, one related to this goes to Russia today. Bloggers fear Russian crackdown on illegal web content causes stir. There's a new law that came into force on November 1st. And again, this is, you know, it's not just happening in America. It's happening in Russia. It's done pretty well in China. And that is the crackdown of the free and open web. And the article talking about the fake African news websites goes on to say that, you know, if you hit the About tab, it'll tell you right there that it's run by the U.S. military. So they are actually truth in advertising. But who's ever going to hit that About button? Our second story this week, James, will flip to foodworldorder.com, and this comes from KMOV. British Medical Journal says Roche's Tamiflu won't stop the flu. The British Medical Journal is asking the drug maker Roche, that's R-O-C-H-E, to release all its data on Tamiflu, claiming there's no evidence the drug can actually stop the flu. This drug, Tamiflu, has been stockpiled by dozens of governments worldwide in case of a global flu outbreak and was widely used during the 2009 swine flu pandemic. This past Monday, one of the researchers linked to the British Medical Journal called for European governments to sue Roche, saying, quote, "I suggest we boycott Roche's products until they publish missing Tamiflu data," wrote Peter Gotchi, leader of the Nordic Cochrane Center in Copenhagen. He said governments should take legal action against Roche to get the money back that was needlessly spent stockpiling Tamiflu. Last year, Tamiflu was included in a list of essential medicines by our good friends at the World Health Organization, which often prompts governments or donor agencies to buy the drug. That would, I'd say, be put at the very least, James.
Is this the same World Health Organization that set the pandemic level during the swine flu crisis that turned out not to be a crisis at all, but did garner tens of billions of dollars for the drug companies when they were forced to buy these vaccines because of WHO pandemic agreements? Oh yeah, that WHO. Absolutely. Well, unfortunately, this is nothing unexpected, but here's a little pop quiz for you. Roche is the company that manufactures the Tamiflu, but what is the company that owns the patent to the Tamiflu? That's a company called Gilead Sciences, and guess who happens to have not only been on their board since their inception, but is still a stockholder and still earns money every time Tamiflu gets bought and sold? None other than our good old friend Donald Rumsfeld. So yeah, it is an interesting little company with an interesting interesting little past. So I hope people will check into that. There's more to this story than meets the eye, but it's unfortunately par for the biz. Basically, pharmaceutical companies are licenses to print money, and you better look at the politicians who are in bed with them.
Like Barack Obama and Baxter Pharmaceuticals, which I think also ties right into the fake swine flu pandemic. James, while I was in the newsroom yesterday here in Portland, Oregon, I overheard coming out of the evening news broadcast this story. So I pulled it up. Poll shows men would rather do taxes than get the flu shot. And it gets into all the areas of I'd rather do household chores, I'd rather, you know, clean, or I find it really interesting. It's couched in a way to also, if you check out this link from everydayhealth.com, it's essentially a commercial for if you're afraid of needles, where here's this new way you can take the vaccine. So it's essentially if you're afraid to get the shot, don't worry, we'll still get our vaccines in you. Don't be afraid, James.
Yeah, nothing surprising there, unfortunately, as the propaganda for the flu vaccine continues to go through the roof. Oh well, what do we got up third?
Our third and final story this week we'll take just from the press release at Bernama.com. Personal sufferings of Palestinians to be heard at upcoming war crimes conference. And this is Dateline Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. Malaysians will have the opportunity to hear a group of Palestinians' personal accounts of their sufferings in Gaza at the four-day conference on war crimes beginning this November 19th at the Putra World Trade Center in Kuala Lumpur. The conference, organized by the Kuala Lumpur Foundation to Criminalize War and the Perdana Global Peace Foundation. For the first time, the organizers will be bringing 10 Palestinians from the Gaza Strip to relate their experience living in the blockaded enclave. at the session called Kuala Lumpur War Crimes Commission hearing on Palestine. Also interesting, former Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, who is also the chairman of the Foundation to Criminalize War, is going to deliver the keynote address at the forum called 9/11 Revisited, Seeking the Truth, and that's going to be held on the first day of the conference. And James, I believe some folks we know are also going to be there as well, right?
That's absolutely right. Of course, Professor Michelle Chosadovsky of GRTV, of globalresearch.ca, is going to be there. Cynthia McKinney is going to be one of the speakers, Richard Gage, Professor Graeme McQueen, several other distinguished speakers at the 9/11 panel specifically, as well as yours truly. That's right. I've managed to find my way onto that panel as well. So I'm going to be presenting on what happened at the Pentagon, and that's going to be in the morning conference, the first session of that. Next Monday is going to be the day for the 9/11 Revisited Conference. So if anyone happens to be in Kuala Lumpur or heading that way in the next week, by all means, I think there is a sign up at the site that you can fill in to request attendance there. Although be advised, the dress code is smart casual or business attire. But yes, that's going to be in Kuala Lumpur next week. I'm going to be covering it for Global Research TV, and I'm also going to be speaking at the 9/11 Conference. So I am not going to be here in Japan next week, so there's going to be no radio show, no podcast, no interviews, no videos, no nothing, no New World next week. And I will be back the week after that with hopefully a lot of video under my belt to share with all of you out there. So I hope you'll stick with me during that. And so there will be none of this next week. We won't be talking to James next week.
James, have you ever been to Malaysia?
Never been there in my life. So it's going to be an interesting trip, I hope.
Amazing. If I could throw in one kind of related note, this is just something that has kind of struck me. This has gone on recently here in Portland. There's been a battle about ad space on our public transportation. That would be the buses and the light rail. And essentially, it's been a battle about, well, can we have these political ads? But what it basically boils down to, when you step outside in Portland and you look at the buses and you look at the MAX trains, you will either see one of two ads showing the massive loss of Palestinian land since 1947, and it shows the maps and the loss of land, or fighting jihad and siding with Israel. So since TriMet, the public transportation, ruled no, we can't deny, you know, this political ad, since they gave the okay to one, then the other has been buying advertisement. So it's kind of an interesting thing, in addition to your usual just TV shows and regular ads you would see. You a lot of double takes on the public transportation. It's like, wait, what did that say about, you know, Palestine?
Absolutely. Yeah, that is very interesting. And for people who don't know, I hope that they will check into, for example, last May. This is the same war crimes tribunal that convicted Bush and Cheney and others of war crimes of torture in the Bush administration. So it is a pretty interesting panel, and it is a very serious panel. There's going to be a lot of big name speakers there. So again, please check that out at the links we provide in the show notes.
And I'll also include, I interviewed Niall Bowie earlier this in May of this year, talking about Malaysia and that and a war crimes tribunal and the overall Pacific century. So needless to say, our friends, don't take our word for any of this. Go check out all the information, all the documentation and links will be provided in the show notes as always. So James, we'll have a week off, and I will see you, I guess. That makes almost December for New World next week.
Almost December, exactly right. Well, until then, thank you all out there for listening and for viewing this. And James, thank you.
Thanks so much, man. Take care.